This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 3rd, episode 861, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
That's right. It is Monday morning, and I don't know about you, Glenn. I don't know about you guys that are listening, but I have a little bit of an Oscar hangover. Did you watch?
I watched the first hour before I fell asleep. You get to watch it. How does it work on the West Coast, having never lived there? Do you watch it delayed and it starts at 9 o'clock like us, or do you watch it live?
Dude, it started at like 6, I thought.
No, you watch it live.
7.
Then.
Yeah, we watch it live, definitely. You can't, with social media these days, you can't put something like that later in the day, you know. I mean, I recorded it, so I was already worried people were going to, like, you know, bust everything. But our favorite movie was a huge winner. Gravity won some huge awards. It did not win Best Actress for Sandra Bullock, and it did not win Best Picture, which went to 12 Years as a Slave. So amazing that it won that many Oscars, and 12 Years as a Slave. Watching the clips from all these movies makes me want to go watch all the movies and seeing all the actors.
I don't know. 12 Years a Slave, when I saw the clips from that, I went, I don't think I can handle that movie. So I just, that one I think I'll pass on. You can see.
I loved Ellen DeGeneres was by far, the reason I watched the whole show was because of her. She was so funny and she was so good. You know, she starts the show out, ladies and gentlemen, yes, around the world. It has been a tough couple of days for us here in Los Angeles. It's been raining. We appreciate your prayers. It's so true because my brother-in-law lives in Los Angeles and has already texted, oh, my God, it's raining cats and horses. We get texted. So we got that same rainstorm. So we know it's, my whole farm is flooded. It's been a nightmare. But just to hear a celebrity say something like that makes you realize, like, okay, these people are so spoiled. It's so spoiled. But she was so funny, ordering pizza for everybody who was hungry in the audience, bringing some pizza delivery guy out there. Her lines were so funny. What did you think?
I thought she was very good. Yeah, I thought she did a great job. She threw some out there that I thought were a little, you know, that who was it that I think she totally offended? Was it Liza Minnelli?
Yeah, oh. When she said,
did you see her face? She was about ready to go up there and deck her.
It is Liza Minnelli. Yeah, the joke was, I just saw the greatest Liza Minnelli impersonator in the audience. Good job, sir.
Oh, and she was not happy with that at all.
I know. It was funny. But it's Liza. And I thought they did a beautiful, I thought Pink singing the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow was gorgeous. What I did not think was good was after the In Memoriam. I've never watched the whole Oscars in my life, but I watched it because of Ellen. But the memorial, you know, moment, and then they come out to Bette Midler singing Wind Beneath My Wings. Are you kidding me? That was so lame.
She has
That's
been on
so
more
lame.
Oscar shows. singing. For what reason, I don't know. I don't know. She's a favorite of them. I don't know why, but she has been on more Oscar shows singing. You know, I thought it was interesting that the best animated feature was Frozen when half the country is now getting the 15th major snowstorm this year.
I know. I know. You know, I talked to listener Colleen Peachy emailed me, and she said, what's it like where it's warm? Because apparently she hasn't been able to turn her horses out in like 9 days now because everything was so, as you said, frozen that she was praying for the 6 to 12 inches of snow. So at least she could turn her horses out on top of the ice that they've had for days and days and days.
Oh, jeez. I remember those days. They weren't much fun either. I'm seeing all the pictures coming in from Lexington right now, and they're in the brunt of the storm right now, so they got major snow piling up on top of the ice they had last night. So it looks like a winter wonderland there. So glad we live in Florida now. I'm just saying.
Oh,
hey,
man.
By the way, before we go on, we might as well do this right now. Jennifer, what was the score for the predictions, which Jamie's trying to avoid, that we did on Friday for the Oscars?
Oh, yeah, how'd they go? I don't even remember. Well, let's see here. For Best Picture, 12 Years a Slave, Glenn chose.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
For Best Actor, the winner was Matthew McConaughey, which I chose.
Ah, nice. Good job, Jennifer. That only leaves one.
And for Best Actress, the winner was Kate Blanchett, which Jamie chose.
Oh, we're even up.
Like we planned that or something.
Yeah.
Seriously, that was it? We only picked three? We all win?
We only picked three. That's right. We all win.
Woohoo!
Let me do it now. No, we didn't go into supporting role or any of that stuff because that was just like too much effort. So we didn't do it.
I really didn't think we would watch it. I just taped it because the opening monologue to see Ellen, and she was so funny, I wanted to watch the rest of it. And it actually seemed like it sucked me in.
Did it seem like they were letting the winners go on a little longer than usual? It just didn't seem like they were piping the music in and booting them out as quick.
They didn't do that one time. Like, Jared Leto went up to get his award, and he just kept talking and talking. I thought, when are they going to, you know, stick that little cane out there and grab him around the neck and pull him off? And they never did. But it also seems to me they didn't do as many awards. It just seemed shorter to me and more, I don't know.
Well, a lot of them they do ahead of time now so that they don't do them on the main show. They just do them ahead of time. You know, I thought some of the dresses were interesting. Here I am talking about fashion. I thought some of the dresses were interesting. The girl Lupita, whose name we can't say, who won Best Supporting Role, didn't have much of a dress.
She looked gorgeous.
There's only one way you can wear that, and that's when you're built like her. I thought Jennifer Lawrence looked terrific. She looked great.
Mm-hmm.
She always looks good, though. And Jennifer Lawrence comes across so like girl next door, like, I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Ellen talking about her. Yeah, she said,
tripping.
She's like, hey, you know, we don't want to do what she did last year. Remember when she tripped coming up? And then they talk about, apparently she fell getting out of the limo tonight, last night too.
I saw a clip of that, and she fell getting out of limo, and then she just cracked up laughing. So, you know, she takes herself in stride, which is really ironic considering the role she plays in the Hunger Games movies, right? The most coordinated, lethal person out there, and she's this big klutz.
She's fantastic. Yeah, you're right. She's very likable. Sandra Bullock looked amazing, of course.
And there's another one. We saw a couple of her interviews before on the red carpet. She's another one that I don't think ever really truly adopted the whole Hollywood lifestyle thing. She just could care less. She's just out there having a good time.
Yeah. She is amazing, and it was a night of the women. I thought it was awesome. I thought of the whole show. You know what? You know why I think it was short? It's because I fast forwarded through most of it. Like
that's the best way to talk the Oscars. Right there.
Yeah, exactly. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Jennifer? Hello? Oh,
Jennifer?
Did we lose Jennifer?
She's gone.
Jennifer, well, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's show, the Omega Alpha Monday edition, we open with the show by tallying Friday's Oscar picks, which we have already done, followed by our final Live from Wellington report featuring the lovely Emily Thompson. And then next up, Dr. Chang kicks up the energy level with a concise conversation on how to support your horse's energy levels. And then rounding out the show, the Wacky World of Horse Nation sets the tone for the remainder of the week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Plus, I have something, too, that we're going to talk about in the second half hour of the show. It's a new program that we're offering out to listeners of the Horse Radio Network and people who truly feel invested in it. And we're going to be talking about our HRN Auditor program and what that is and how that's all going to work coming up on today's show. Lots of stuff. It's going to be a busy one. I want to give a daily whinny to Dwayne Isaacson, who is a listener of ours, who I've never heard from before, I don't think, but he had found an issue with the app that we have for iOS and Android, and because of his help, we were able to fix it, and I just wanted to give him a thank you for that. Dwayne listens to a lot of the shows, and he was upset because he couldn't listen to one of them. So we fixed that problem, and I appreciate Dwayne's help on that one.
That's the kind of upset we like.
Yes.
You're upset because you can't hear us. That's, we like yes. that better than you're upset because you can hear us. My daily whinny goes out to our friend Mucho Macho Man. He has, you know, he's running this weekend in the Big Cap, in the Santa Anita Handicap, and they've handed out weights for the horses, and he's going to carry 124 pounds, which is more than any other horse that is running in the Big Cap. Will Take Charge has 123. And then, if you guys recall, I went to Santa Anita, I don't know, what was it, a month ago, and I told you that I had a lock. I had a lock for this race. The one I was watching, it was Game On Dude and Blue Skies and Rainbows, and that's when Chad went in and, like, I told him to bet $2, and he went out and he bet a lot more because I was so convinced that these two horses were going to finish first and second. Game On Dude and Blue Skies and Rainbows. Well, maybe I should bet him in this race because both of those suckers are in the Big Cap this weekend, and maybe that's the day that they come in one.
Oh, you got a trifecta. You got a trifecta building there.
Trifecta with Mucho Macho Man, Game On Dude, and Blue Skies Rainbows. Anyway, I saw those two horses. I'm like, son of a stupid Game On Dude and Blue Skies and Rainbows. I just knew they were going to win. I just knew it. And they were, okay. I don't know, ninth and tenth or something like that. It was ridiculous.
If you do that, box it, okay? Just box it.
I'm not betting on those two horses ever again. But mark my words, if they come in with Mucho Macho Man and the trifecta, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to hear the end of it from my husband. So if you are a betting person, karmically, probably those two horses have got to come in first and second and third with Mucho Macho Man. So just keep that in mind if you are a betting person. Otherwise, I won't bet it, so then maybe you'll have a chance at winning. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Well, a couple quick things here before we get to Emily from S. Equestrian down there with our Wellington report. I wanted to mention that Wednesday Celebrity Trivia Challenge does feature the world's most famous groom, Max Cochran. Of course, she was groomed to the O'Connors and Theodore O'Connor, which many people will remember as the eventing pony of a lifetime. And you can go to horsesinthemorning.com to sign up for your opportunity to play some Wednesday morning. So Horses in the Morning, there's a banner right in the middle of the page. Take about 30 seconds to sign up and get on the list. Also, the reports are coming in from people who I know went and also from Arabian Nights themselves that they sold 5 or 6 horses of their horses over the weekend. Of course, I don't think that's any big surprise. Yeah. I don't think
I thought they were going to sell all of them.
Well, that's all I know about, and I'm sure there's many more. Apparently, a lot of people turned out at the farm to see the horses, and they continued it on Sunday. So I'm sure they'll have more reports on their Facebook page today. It was even in the Orlando Sentinel down there, the big newspaper in Orlando, had a big article about the fact that the horses were being sold. So I think he got a lot of free press out of this one to sell those horses, more than most people do. Well, let's go off to Wellington, Florida, where, for our northern listeners, it's warm and lovely. And I'm sure Emily Thompson from Equestrian is going to tell us all about that. Good morning, Emily.
Hey. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Now, before you go any further, last time when you were on, you were telling us that you have this tradition on Monday mornings that you, because Monday tends to be an off day there. There's not a lot that goes on at jumper shows on Monday. So you take this route by the place where all the riders go called the Players Club. And on Monday mornings, you go by to see how many cars are still left there. And I was wondering how big a week it was last week.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it is very funny that this is all becoming public now because since I've really, really been paying attention, it is becoming an epidemic. This was Nations Cup week. Nations Cup week was clearly much, much bigger than Hunter week. We had this morning, I drove by, I thought, well, this is totally ruins it for me. They're having some sort of event. There's too many people. I can't possibly decipher who was here last night and who's here for the event this morning. And what really finally gave it away, it's the strategic placement of the cars. They open up the way back parking lot when it's like a field. And, you know, there's like hills and stuff in it. You don't want to be parking, you know, your BMW up on the hill, but people do. And this morning, I mean, I think there were 30 cars out there. So it was a huge, huge week. And they were there. I investigated. Those were cars from the night before. And to boot, even bigger, Nations Cup night was Friday night. So, I mean, this went on, you know, all the different, the crowd is wild. Everything's crazy. Well, it goes on and on over so many rounds. I saw pictures of people who got there early Saturday morning to show on Facebook. They posted the forklifts taking cars out of the parking lots, which are some of the Hunter rings during the week.
They took forklifts to move the cars?
Yes, so I want to congratulate everybody who has, as a group here, decided to not drink and drive. That's awesome. But I think there's another step where we decide beforehand and we don't take our cars to the club.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Oh, that's great to see your $150,000 car being taken out by a forklift scraping up the whole thing.
I know it. Unbelievable. It really was. And if you could, I should have taken a picture this morning for you guys to really see the angle that these nice luxury cars are parked just zigzag mishap, you know, all over the place. Literally.
Oh, my gosh.
Emily, we got the right reporter. This is the kind of stuff our listeners are interested in.
it's the real deal, I got to tell you.
So what's going on down there? What do you have to tell us about on a more serious note?
Well, let's see. It was a big big 2 weeks. We had FEI week, which was with the Nation Cup class, which is an FEI class, and it's every nation forms a four-person team, and it's done over two rounds. It's a big to-do. The whole crowd splits off in sections, you know, for their country. And so that was lots of fun, always big excitement, top horses. Canada won. They've just been on fire. All their Canadian riders are great. Great Britain was second, and we were third, so it wasn't such a bad showing. We had quite a few big classes, really fun stuff. You know, down here it's the center of horse sports for show jumping, so we week in and week out are watching right now the number one and number two ranked rider in the world just battle it out for World Cup points. So that was fun. They're generally like first and second or second and third, you know, neck and neck. So that's fun to be able to watch it at that level. And then, yeah, all capped it off with a night at Players, looks like.
Now, Ben Maher, we hear about Ben Maher when we get our European reports from Victoria at Horse and Country TV. He really is doing well down there right now. He's ranked number two, I think, in the world, but he's also been winning a bunch of money. He's going to be able to afford his hobby here.
Oh, my gosh. He wins so much. You know, that he's ranked number two, and then the number one rider is Scott Brash. He also rides for Great Britain, and I mean, they're just constantly in the standings. The consistency and on different horses, it's really cool to get out there and watch these top, top athletes week in and week out, and the consistency is really incredible.
Have the crowds been there? Have the stands been full?
It has been full. It's really, it's quite rowdy. You know, I've been coming down to Wellington since I was a kid. I showed down here as a kid, and so I've sort of watched it just explode over the years. So currently, like this last week, we have just under 5,800 back numbers. So
wow.
That's crazy. So that's the horses showing. But, yeah, then the stands, they reflect that, and the complex here has really made it spectator-friendly. They have a whole other spectator entrance, and there's like a carousel and sort of a fair atmosphere when you come in. So it does. It gets packed, and a lot of times with non-horse people, and they have concerts after the big Grand Prix and stuff. So it's pretty intense.
Now, does the prize money – is it divided like in racing where it goes down to like the 10th place? If it's like a $150,000 class.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. It's divvied up. So, you know, your top three placings get your top checks, and then it's divvied up. And depending on the quantity and the level of class, they decide how many places they pay checks to and things like that. But you can, you know, for a decent place, you can still kind of pay your entry, which is what a lot of these guys are trying to make a business out of it, which is hard.
I often wondered, because I've never actually won any money doing horse sports, when do you get your check?
I've heard a few touch-and-go stories over the years of people not getting their checks until later, but the idea is that you get it when you check out.
Oh, is it? Okay. I was wondering about that. I didn't know if they mailed it to you. If the check's in the mail story, you know, you'll get it.
Sometimes, I've had that happen, too. It's kind of, you know, different horse show companies, but that would be the top prize, is that you're able to work that off your bill.
Okay. Cool. Jamie, have you had that problem at all in the event?
Hold on. Let me see. I just need to check the mailbox today, and then I'll let you know.
So funny.
It's coming. You know? It's coming.
Now, I am sure, being the dedicated equestrian you are, that you have also been over and watched just as much dressage as you have jumping.
You know, I really have, actually. I've been over there quite a bit. And for the for our manufacturer expo that FTI put on a few weeks ago for the clothing line, I actually went and set up a booth during their big four-star freestyle.
Well, you went over for the best class, too. I mean, the freestyle is just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, you're right. You can't count on me for the other stuff. I get bored quick.
We all do. Not just you, Emily.
No.
So now, all right, give a plug for S Equestrian.
Yes, S Equestrian. It's doing really well. Check us out online. It's ECEequestrian.com. We'll have the new styles, jacket and breeches, coming soon. And Facebook. Check us out on Facebook for all of our updates and new tax stores.
You know, I wanted to ask you, is there a jumping equivalent to the dressage freestyle?
Well, yeah, I guess in a way. We have the Gambler's Choice.
How's that work?
So they have they set up the arena, and all the jumps carry a numerical score. Value, rather, and then there's a joker fence, which is much bigger than the rest, generally like a big plank, and if you are clear over your, you get a prescribed time allowed, and it's a foot race. You try to hit as many of those jumps as possible and accumulate points. If you have one down, either you stay the same or some people make you deduct. It depends on the level of competition. And then depending on your score, you have the option to attempt the joker fence, which is like a much larger numerical quantity, and you either add that on or you don't. You have an option.
Hey, I got a great idea. This would be fun. Why don't we combine the two? We do combine dressage freestyle with yours, and we do like pee offs and things in between the jumps, there's certain mandatory movements you have to do. And you can combine the two, put it to music. There you go. I invented a new class.
I think we could do it. I'd be into it. I think that would be a big production.
You know who would not be into it? Dressage riders.
Well, you know, you can't please them anyway, right? They're never happy.
So you're willing to do like you know you're willing to do side passes and things in between the jumps.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's good for you. You should be able to navigate your line and track. So we make it a little flair, why not?
Emily, that's my idea.
With a few tempi changes, you know.
Emily, when you suggest that to the show organizers, I want credit, okay?
Okay,
my idea.
Perfect.
Okay.
Seriously, I don't know how impressed they're going to be, but we'll see.
It's S-Equestrian, ECEEquestrian.com. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Glad you had your car with you, able to drive to work. That's good.
She's a perfect reporter for us. She knows exactly the kind of things we want to hear about.
Yeah, she's fun. She's a lot of fun.
Which, you know, she was picking on the dressage riders. I'll say, you know, it's hard to find a jumper that knows exactly the kind of deep, in-depth reporting that we really want. Here on Horses in the Morning.
I love it. I love it.
Well, we had, let's see here. There was something I wanted to bring up, and I didn't know about this at all. It is that they're having a problem. I think everybody knows that they're having a problem with space issues in China for the pandas. The panda population is being threatened. But one of the things it's being threatened by, and this is the part I didn't know, maybe I should and maybe I just never had a horse that did this, but apparently there's a lot of wild horses. I posted an article for that this morning on Horses in the Morning. But one of the things that the wild horses do is eat the bamboo that the pandas live on. So the wild horses are encroaching on the panda territory and eating the bamboo. I didn't know horses ate bamboo.
Well, you know, when I first read this story, I didn't know horses ate bamboo either. And I don't think most horses do if they have other forage provided. But these horses aren't wild. This is what's crazy, is they're actually owned. Every one of these horses is owned. And what I was reading about this is that the horses that they're out grazing in this region where the pandas are and all of the bamboo, and they're owned by farmers. And they're turned loose to go run around. And when they need to sell a horse, these farmers, they go in and catch one and then go sell it. So these horses are actually owned by families. And they, I don't know how they tell them apart. I don't know if they're branded or whatever, but they're like, hey, we need some money for, you know, whatever they need, I guess, electricity. And so they go in and they round up a horse and they take it to the market and they sell it. I don't know what they sell it for. I didn't get that deep into it. but those are the horses. So they're not even wild. That's the problem they're having, is they're actually owned by people. And it's horses and other livestock just as well running around in this area where it's a nature conservation, I believe. And so the problem is, there's no place for them, and they can't get people to take them away because they are privately owned.
And they're, I mean, you saw the pictures in that article I posted. They're not are not a few horses. We're talking thousands of horses running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't read this article you posted. And, of course, the articles you're posting are things on our show notes. But, yeah, the giant panda habitat. What really is the good news about this is China has embraced saving the giant pandas. So where they were on the brink of extinction not too long ago, you know, granted there are a lot of them in zoos and everything, but even in this nature reserve, it's the Wulong Nature Reserve in China, they really work hard to keep the pandas there and wild and alive. And, you know, that's one great thing that China really has going for it. So, Glenn, are you there?
I'm here. Yep.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
They have 1,600 pandas remaining wild in this area. So, and they've stopped timber harvesting. They're doing all sorts of stuff. So I don't know what they're going to do about the horses. They're going to have to get these farmers to come and get them and stop letting them eat all the bamboo.
Shouldn't we? Wouldn't it be nice if we could just turn our horses out in somebody else's field and let them eat?
Yeah, right? I'll just come back and get them in a month or so.
Yeah. When I ride them, I'll just come get them. No board, no nothing. Just show up.
Turn them loose.
Hey, I got to drive the pony over the weekend with the cart. We hooked, finally got the harness and the pony, and the pony and the harness hooked up to the cart. And I actually sat in the cart for the first time, and with Jennifer heading the pony. And it went pretty well Saturday. He did very well, didn't make a wrong step. Sunday he was a little grouchy, but, you know, when he gets grouchy and mad about something, he stops. So there was a lot of stopping in the cart on Sunday, because I think he was sore from the previous day. The poor little guy has no muscle. So we're working him like 10 minutes at a time at this point. But, yeah, he has no muscle at all. So we're going to take a while building that up. But he was kind of mad on Sunday that he had to do this when he was all sore. So we didn't do too much on Sunday. But he is...
I have to work for a living? This is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Don't you know I'm a starving pony? Yeah, he doesn't look so starving anymore. And, it would be neat to see him now as he's a plump butterball, to see actual muscle developing and how he changes over that period of time, too. Do you know that darn video keeps going, the one of him rolling in the water
really?
That went viral? It's up to 2.5 million views.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Monty Roberts posted it on his page on Saturday, maybe. And
yeah,
they had a huge response to it, like hundreds of comments and just tons of people. I mean,
did anybody comment on how that poor, poor little pony lives in a field, a grassy field, and he just looks so miserable and lonely living in this grassy field after being staved, and he's bored, his life is horrible. Oh, God.
Nope, none of that.
That
and you know what?
Never commented back, by the way, did she?
Oh, she did. Oh,
she
did.
Oh,
she did. And she was like, she wasn't happy because a lot of our fans came to our, Scooter's defense. And let me tell you, she did not like what they had to say because she was like, oh, ladies, just calm down. I was just trying to make a point. I'll never comment here again. So I think she got the wrath of the listeners.
Bye-bye.
When it comes to Scooter. Right now, I would arguably say the most famous pony in the world. You know what I found is interesting is there were so many foreign comments, in foreign languages. And when you hit the little translate button, it probably doesn't do very well because some of the things were kind of weird. I don't think the translate button on Facebook works very well. It's some very strange thing.
1,000 shares. Are you kidding me? 2,471,000 people saw this whole freaking video. That is crazy. That is crazy. I want to see these comments. I'm going in right now. I've scrolled back. Of course, we're talking about Glenn's little pony rolling in the water. I'm scrolling back to go look at these comments because I want to see what this chick said, because there is it just irritates me. It's not horse people. It's just women who always have to make some sort of comment about, oh, this poor little pony, blah, 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 da, da, da.
Most of them
I
couldn't believe how many actually posted that their horses do the same thing. I don't think we've ever had a horse that does quite that, just out of pure enjoyment. But apparently there are a lot of horses that do it, judging by the comments. And we had almost 560 comments on that post, just on our posts right there. So anyway, Dr. Chang is ready to go.
Dr. Chang, good morning.
Good morning to you all. Now,
it is a pleasure having you on. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I hope it's nice and warm wherever you guys are because it's minus 19 Celsius today.
Whoa!
In Toronto, the Great White North. I'm wearing the banana belt, by the way.
The banana belt?
Yeah, supposedly Toronto is in the banana belt, meaning that we don't get as cold as the rest of Canada. But I take that with a grain of salt because Vancouver is really always warmer. But around this area, Toronto is always considered the banana belt. We don't get dumped on as much snow, and we don't get cold as everybody else. But when you hit minus 19 Celsius, whether it's Celsius or Fahrenheit, the only thing I can say is it is cold.
Leave it to a bunch of Canadians to come up with the banana belt. I mean, my gosh.
Can we safely say that all of Canada is much colder than we would like? Can we just safely say that?
You could probably say that, but mind you, I was looking at some of the temperatures up in the Dakotas and so on for this winter, and I'll say, you know what, those boys out there are rivaling whatever we're getting up here, you know?
They are,
mind
yeah.
you, at any given time, I will say, it's probably colder in Canada than anywhere in the U.S. of A, because there's always a spot in Canada I can guarantee is colder. You know, this is the competition today. The Canadians versus the U.S. Who has the coldest temperatures in the winter?
You know what, Dr. Chang? You're talking to somebody sitting in Phoenix, Arizona and Ocala, Florida right now. You can have it. You win.
I just got back from Wellington, where is it, about a few days ago, right? And I'll tell you, getting back from plus whatever it is to what we had here, minus 19 and so on. This has seemed to be regular for these few days. So we just get hammered this winter.
Dr. Chang, I won't tell you I mowed my lawn for the first time yesterday.
Chad mowed ours.
That's okay. Rub it in. We'll get warm one day. Don't worry.
For
we'll
those
get
4 days.
That's
for those
right.
4 days, it'll be great.
Four days of summer. There you go.
That's okay. We'll be cussing because we'll be so hot. Every place has its thing. So, but anyway, Dr. Chang, we're actually you're calling to talk about energy level, and I wonder, do you think energy level in humans gets affected by all that cold weather?
Oh, definitely. The only difference between us and the horses is that the humans, we can move to warm places or stay in a warm environment, or if we're too hot, we can go to a cooler environment, whereas the poor horses, unless you have owners who can air condition their barns if it's too hot, like in what happens in Dubai and places like that, Saudi Arabia, right? Those places, the barns are air conditioned, believe it or not. Right. Because I could say why, because in the summertime it gets really, 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 really hot, right? You can leave them outside, but I'm guaranteed your poor horses are probably going to get heat stroke, right?
Yeah.
Pampered animals that they are, right?
Right.
You know, here in the wintertime there may be a few barns who are heated, but most of them are probably just enclosed, right? Anyway,
right.
But, you know, the temperature, the extremes of temperature definitely affects the energy levels too, right? Meaning that horses are just mammals just like we are, and everything affects the energy levels just the same as affects us. If we don't sleep at night, energy levels go down. You know, if you have under a lot of stress, so you can't sleep properly, you can't rest and relax properly, energy levels fluctuate up and down. If you've been exercising a lot, right, I mean, the first day is great, second day is fantastic, or it's maybe okay, third day, you know, no more gas in the tank. You got to give it a little bit of oomph to get going, right? A lot
right.
of it is level of fitness. All those things contribute to energy levels, right? How well you're fed contributes to energy levels.
Okay, so what I'm hearing right now is the energy level thing you're talking about is me. Like, I'm not sleeping. I'm not working out. I have zero energy. I've got an infant. Like, there's no sleep to be had. So I'm following along with exactly what you're saying, and I'm trying to, like, remember, it's for the horses. It's talking about the horses. Not about you.
They probably have the same issues that we do, except, you know, Jamie, what I was going to say, when the baby cries, give Chad a good kick and say, Chad, your turn.
Yes.
You probably won't appreciate
that,
but it's okay.
I do that, Dr. Chang. I do that all the time. I'm like, do you not hear that? How do you not hear that? Go get up and go get your child. No, we definitely do that in this house.
No. But getting back to your energy levels, though, I mean, in the horses, I mean, first thing I always like to say, you look at the feed at which the horses eat on a regular basis. So you make sure you have a good feeding program. But then you address the things like the ability to digest and absorb. So you're looking at things like probiotics, okay? The next thing you look at, hormonal issues, hormonal health, because, you know, in the springtime, your horses are a lot more friskier than your horses are if late fall, you know, has to do with light levels. It has to do with the amount of hormones surging around in the body, right?
Right.
Hormones which tend to give them a lot more oomph is testosterone, right? If you increase your testosterone levels a little bit, in you know, you will have more energy, right? If you have a gelding or a mare, it works even better for those. You have a stallion, you give them a little bit more testosterone floating around in the blood, it naturally raises energy level. But nowadays, testosterone, you can't just go and inject testosterone because or any kind of steroids, because those
right.
are illegal for competition, right? However,
right.
you can naturally raise your testosterone levels in your horses by using, we have a product called Testos Boost, right? And basically what that does is that it uncouples testosterone from testosterone binding protein and from albumin. What happens is that normally testosterone floats around in the body. A portion of it is bound to proteins called testosterone binding protein and also to albumin, and a small portion of it is free. For the energy levels, the activity levels of testosterone, etc., it's a free testosterone that gives you that effect. So the bound testosterone is basically acts like a reservoir. Now, what happens with Testos Boost in there, we have the herbs in there have the ability to uncouple testosterone from testosterone binding protein and also from albumin. So what will happen is that your free testosterone will go up, okay? But again, it doesn't go up like from 5% to 50%. It might go from 5% to 7%. But that extra 2% makes a big difference as far as the testosterone effect goes. So you'll see your horse might have a little bit more energy. You'll see him a little bit more aggressive or more aggression, right? And that's great if you have a gelding or if you have a mare, right?
Right.
So those are some of the one of the things that we have. We also have something called Endurogen and EnduroForce. There's two different products. One is a pace product, which is a pre-race prep product, right, or
mm-hmm.
energy level product. I just got back from Wellington, where we have some of the horses there because of the competing, and by the time day three hits, there's nothing in the tank, right?
Oh, wow, yeah, that's true.
So what happens is we gave them a little bit of the Endurogen and the EnduroForce, and what you see happen is that they get a little pick-me-up, a little giddy-up-and-go type thing. It is the equivalent to, say, taking a shot of coffee in the morning, all right, except that the active ingredient is not caffeine. So because the active ingredients are not caffeine, there's nothing to test. Right, there's
right.
It's not a stimulant that's testable, etc. What it does is that it's what we call an adaptogenic herbs, things like ginseng, codonopsis, ashwagandha, elithrococcus. Those are what we call adaptogenic herbs, and what they do is that they help you relax a little bit more. Right, Jamie, so you can take some of that. It gives you more energy. it gives you more energy, so you'll be get up and go. So when you sleep deeper, right? So
mm-hmm.
you wake up more refreshed, right? So those are some of the adaptogenic effects that we're looking at, and it does also give you a little bit of extra energy to get going, to do whatever it is that needs to be done. And we've seen this time and time again. It's not me saying this. This is well documented in the literature on some of these herbs. Right? So
right.
we have those things. Now, things that people never, ever think about with their horse is that, you know, the vitamin B levels, right? Because, you know, their vitamin levels, mineral levels, et cetera. Because I know everybody says, well, we feed our horse fortified feeds, et cetera.
Right.
And that may be great, except that when you feed fortified feeds, it depends on how much feed you give them. Will give you an idea of how much B vitamins that they get. And I always say this, if I had a backyard horse just kicking around, fortified feeds are probably great and will do the job. You know, if I have a performance horse, show horse,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know I'm working them training and actually in competition, they burn up B vitamins as if there's no tomorrow, meaning that it chews it up, a lot of it. So, you know, you can always, they will always need more than what you can get with fortified feeds. Now, the nice thing about B vitamins, if it doesn't build up, meaning that if you give them too much and the body, their body doesn't need it, they'll absorb whatever they need and the rest of it comes out into your urine. So you don't have to worry about overdosing with B vitamins, right?
It's water soluble is what you're saying.
Yes.
So like some things you can't take and you can't take too much because it just sits there and builds up. And this one, your kidneys flush it out.
That's right. Now, vitamins are just one of the issues too, but you have to look into things like the zincs, the cobalts, the zinc, manganese, right? Selenium, copper, all those things are necessary also for the B vitamins to function well, for the other enzymes in the body to function well, right? And I know, again, depending on how much, sometimes you get it in fortified feeds, but sometimes you don't, right? And so you need these trace minerals, and we call them trace minerals because you don't need a lot of it, right? But you need it in trace amounts so that the enzymes that do all of the work in the body, right, functions properly. That so you know so our mineral product has all of those things in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know it's you know when we talk about energy levels, there's so many different things that apply. From a more holistic approach, you know, I would say make sure he's well fed, well watered. Right? Make sure he gets enough rest, right, the horse. And I use the he word for the horse, but it could be the mare also. And then you look at the supplements afterwards. Make sure that that whatever they're eating can get digested. Make sure their gut is healthy. So this where we talk about the probiotics, right, that are very, very important. That we address the things like ulcer issues in the gut. Just because, you know, if your horse isn't happy, meaning he's not digesting, or if he's in pain, he's not going to be energetic. He's not going to be wanting to do the things you want him to do, right?
Right.
You know, so
right.
You have all those issues. So from a holistic point of view, you cover all those, and then, you know, you can do some what we call the pre-race things, right? Make sure they get the B vitamins with the trace minerals in there. Right, and then the pre-race things, you know, like your Energen, your Endurogen, your Enduroforce, your Testos Boost, right? Mm-hmm. All those things add up.
And the only thing I was thinking of, you know, obviously if people have questions, they can get in touch with you guys over at Omega Alpha. But if they have, like, we want an anti-energy level, is that going to be the equine chill? Is that the opposite?
Yes. And when we call it anti-energy level, really what you're looking for is something to calm the nerves down, right? And that's what chill
right.
does. It works by calming down the nerves, right?
I don't think you're supposed to give it to your child, though.
Yeah, I know. I need to do that right now.
Well, do you know, in the good old days, they used to use gripe water for children, and the active ingredient in gripe water was really the alcohol, not the rest of the stuff that was in the gripe water.
Well, now, Jamie, I know you have some of that laying around.
I do. I they still sell gripe water. I didn't know that I was giving them shots of tequila, but if that will work, I'll just do that. I got plenty of that.
Omega Alpha is committed to helping you learn more about their equine products by offering free teleseminars or web classrooms held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m., 7 p.m. Eastern. Next webinar is March the 31st, a more in-depth look at supporting energy levels with question and answer thereafter. Registering is easy. Just give them a call at 800-651-3172 and ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code. And Jennifer will post that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. As always, it's good to talk to you, Dr. Chang. Bundle up. Stay warm.
Pleasure's mine. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Chang. Well, you know, we have a company that's helping support our coverage of Road to the Horse, and that's Cashel Company. Every rider has their own road to travel, and there's no limit to where it may take you. When you're on the trail, you need tack and equipment you can count on. The quality of your tack can help make sure every ride is the ride of a lifetime, and that's where Cashel's commitment to designing the best gear available can bring you peace of mind. From saddlebags, saddles, and tush cushions to America's best-selling fry protection, plus everything in between. Casual is dedicated to quality, so you can rest assured you're getting a great value. Spend more time enjoying the outdoors, exploring new trails, and finding new roads. Casual gives you the freedom to get out and enjoy the ride. Visit CasualCompany.com and explore everything Casual has to offer for both you and your horse. That's CasualCompany.com. Now a little Dan Roberts in Only in Texas, and then we come back and we talk a little serious for a minute about the official HRN Auditor Program.
Boot-wearing calf, roping cattle, ranching gate, open buckle-wearing, barbecuing beer, drinking pig ropes and hay, baling, friendly, driving fiddle, playing son of a gun. Double hocking steer, tripping washer, pitching cow, tipping snakes, shooting jukeboxing, honky-tonking, haggard looking church, going W-voting proud, where they're from. In Texas, only in Texas, there's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. Yeah, we got it all, only in Texas. Bustin' bull, riding trail, dustin' barrel, racing bull, dogging hat, stetching boots, justin' rodeo and wrangler, wearing spur, jingling real cowhand. Beef eating cattle, grazing two, stepping steer, hazing chip, kicking chili, cooking Lone Star appreciation, pistol packing deer, tracking Alamo, remembering land. In Texas, only in Texas, there's pride in the eyes of the ones who wear that brand. Cause it's a whole nother country between the Red and the Rio Grande. And we've got it all, only in Texas. Hey, we've got it all, y'all, only in Texas.
Well, it was Only in Texas by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. Well, we're going to get serious with you for a couple of minutes and want to talk to you about a new program that we're offering out there to our dedicated listeners. And I think you all know who you are, the ones that are with us every day and every week on most of the shows.
Hey, Glenn.
First, yeah.
Do you think people who are not dedicated listeners know who they are?
Yes. They're the ones who listen every occasionally, I guess. I don't know. I think they're all dedicated.
There we go.
Well, first, I want to thank the listeners for listening week in and week out to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network and making us the leading online radio network for horse lovers worldwide. You know, that's what truly makes this worth doing is hearing from you and having you support the show. You're the ones that started a little video of a pony rolling in water and making it go to 2.5 million views. So we appreciate you guys being there and listening to the show. We also want to thank our sponsors like Dr. Chang for supporting the show for the last 5 years. Without them, we wouldn't have been able to produce over 3,000 entertaining episodes and have almost 5,000-6,000 guests on the air over that period of time. It's thanks to the sponsors that we can do what we do. And, you know, we got to thank – this goes around the circle, too, because we have to thank the listeners for supporting the sponsors. How many times in the last month have our listeners posted how many sponsors they have supported and how many products they have went out and bought? And we take that very seriously. We don't carry products unless we believe in the products. It's, you know, we're the ones recommending it. We have to believe in it. I turned another one down last week, another company where I just didn't quite believe that the products were up to snuff. And we said no. You know, could we use the money? Yes. But we're not also going to jeopardize our integrity by carrying products and recommending them to you that are not appropriate for our listeners, because we feel very strongly about that. So we have turned many companies down that we have products that we feel just aren't up to our standards. And, you know, so we have a new way now for you to help support the shows that you love on the Horse Radio Network. And that is by becoming an official HRN auditor. Now, what you know, we all know what auditors are. We all go to clinics, and you've been to shows where you've paid to be an auditor of a show. And what that means is that, you know, you're a listener, you're there partaking in it, you're there learning from it, and you're auditing. Well, now we have a new designation here at the Horse Radio Network called an official HRN auditor. For as little as $1 a month, you can show your support directly to HRN and the host that you love. You know, we have the best hosts, I think, out there. And across the board on the whole network. And they work for very little compensation. None of us make much money doing this.
You don't make tons of money?
You may have heard Jamie and I alluding to that in the past. You know, we do it because, one, we're dedicated to the sport. We're dedicated to horses. And we're dedicated to our listeners. And we enjoy what we're doing. We do like what we're doing. And we hope that you enjoy hearing us do it. You know, the sponsors keep the lights on, but you can help us through becoming an auditor, help us to build the network to the next level. You know, one of the goals we have is to expand the show lineup to cover more breed and discipline shows. I can't tell you how many times in the last couple of months I've had people email and say, you know, you should be doing a show on Hackneys. You should be doing a show on ponies. You should be doing a show on my breed or my discipline. Well, all of that takes time and money. Basically takes time and money, and that's where our sponsors have really supported the shows to get us to where we are now, but now we need your help to take it to the next level. And by with your help, we can take it to the next level and accomplish that. So if you like what we do and you can afford it, you can go to horseradionetwork.com or horsesinthemorning.com and click on the support banner and become an official HRN auditor. You can donate as little as $1 a month. That's all we're really asking for is a little bit of support. What that gets you is by becoming an auditor, you get a couple things, and there's different levels. We have the yellow ribbon, the red ribbon, the blue ribbon auditor, $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month. And there's different things that you get for the different levels. But as an auditor, even as little as $1 a month, you'll get early access to what's coming up on the Horse Radio Network. We'll be sending out special emails and special notices to our auditors. You'll get a heads up. You'll get to hear the first episodes of the new shows we have coming out. We'll ask for your input. We want you to be involved, and we'll tweak the shows. So you'll be part of the beta testing of shows. You're also going to get a little behind the scenes. Jamie doesn't even know this yet. We're going to start a monthly blooper reel episode that is going to be available to the auditors. So, you know, maybe we'll pluck some things out that happen even before the pre-shows. You never know what's going to be in there. But
I thought you were going to say we're going to do a webcam.
No, we don't
want
to have
see this
dress
this early.
In the morning.
No, I know.
I think you'd have to actually put clothes on to do that. So, although maybe that would increase our ratings, Jamie, if they saw you in your jammies every morning. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I would drive people away. I haven't slept. I'm a disaster. Yeah, no, you don't want to see that.
And different levels have different premiums that we're going to be giving away. We have new official HRN auditor coffee mugs. We have official HRN auditor baseball hats and all different kinds of things that we're doing there. You can see that on the website. We're working with a company, and we were never able to do this before because we didn't have the ability to do micropayments, which $1 a month is a micropayment. We never had the ability to do that, but there's a new company out there, not new, there's a company out there called Patreon, and it's at patreon.com, and that's the company and website that we're using. They're made specifically for people who produce artistic things, including podcasts, where you can support us with very small payments every month, and it makes it just much easier for us. They do all of the hard work on that end. So, you know, that is what has made this easier and available to do. You know what? If you can't donate anything, we appreciate you listening, and you can help in another way. And that's by posting to Facebook, telling your friends at the barn, tell everyone who has a horse that you know how much you love Horse Radio Network. You'll be surprised at how many of them have never heard of us. And you can be the one to turn them on to our shows. That helps us, too, a great deal, actually. So once a week, if you hear a show you like, post it on your Facebook page. Again, tell your friends at the barn. Tell everybody you know. That helps us just as much. So if you can't afford even a dollar a month or don't want to, I appreciate that. I understand that. But that's another way you can help us grow the network. Jamie, this is actually your first time hearing all the details here. Do you have any questions that the listeners might have for me?
I guess, is this a trustworthy thing? Is giving my credit card number to something like that? Is that how you do it, a credit card number?
It's either credit card or PayPal. And Patreon deals with some of the biggest art institutions in the world. They're very well respected. They've been around a little while now. What I would say is that a lot of podcasts now in the tech world and in the food world and tech world and things like that are using Patreon. And it's just a way to get the listeners more involved, to have them feel more involved. The other thing that we're going to be doing is I'm going to be doing a once a month auditor show episode that is going to be a roundtable of just people who have signed up, and we're going to do a roundtable once a month talking about horses and horse life and horse things, and that's going to be made available just to the auditors as well. So there'll be a special episode every month that we're going to be doing. And then we have some other new things that we're going to add to the auditor lineup as well. And we're not limiting that to the higher levels. Whether you give a dollar or $25 a month or $5, you're considered an auditor, and you'll be eligible to receive all of those new special things we'll be doing for our auditors. And if it's easier, think about an auditor as a member. If that's easier for you.
Yeah. I have another question as an auditor. So you said a dollar a month. Can I give more than a dollar a month? Because I really love the shows, and I really like being a part of the network, and I like being an auditor. Can I give you hundreds of dollars a month?
You can give any amount you want. We have levels set up there at 1, 5, 10, and 25, but I noticed we've already had somebody donate $100 a month.
What?
I think that's crazy, but they did.
Mama,
so
gets
I appreciate
the
new
it. Shoes. Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I do want to clarify that the percentage of this will go out to the host to help give them their first increase since they started, some of them over 5 years ago. So,
Cost of living increases do not happen here on Horse Radio Network, but
no,
we love you.
No. we've had enough sponsors to keep going. And, we don't want you to stop supporting our sponsors, and the sponsors aren't going anywhere either. This is just another way that we can help kind of build the network to provide more content for you. So that's what it's all about. And that's the official HRN Auditor Program. We thank anybody that can help with that.
Absolutely.
And now,
guys, even listening to this talk about this. So I do think it's going to be a great program for people to get involved in, and we will do special things for the auditors, and it'll be like you're part of the club. I mean, not like you're not already, but even more a part of the club. You know what? You can come over for dinner. How about that? If you are an auditor, come on over to Glenn's house
to Jamie's
for dinner.
House. Oh, by the way, you have to babysit when you're done because she's going out.
That's true. If you come over to my house, depends on the day, you are going to watch a baby.
Again, to get there, you just go to horsesinthemorning.com, horseradionetwork.com, any of our websites, actually, and there's a big banner right in the middle of the page. Click on that. It takes you to the Patreon page, and it's very simple and easy to do from there. We thank you for your support. And I think it's time to go to the wacky world of horses with Horse Nation by High Visibility North America. Do you mind doing that, Jamie, the commercial?
From one of our fantastic sponsors? No, I don't, but they may get a little bit of a baby in it, is all I'm going to say. High Visibility North America, the exclusive distributor for the UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines, are having a spring promotion. Already the preferred choice in the UK of thousands of equestrians, numerous mounted police forces, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry, don't miss your opportunity to grab a fabulous Aspie jacket or quilted Gillette at up to 50% off. The entire range is not only functional in that it will keep you safe whether riding in the woods, out on the road, or out on the trail, but it's also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage and Western riders love it. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round wear and has already appeared on riders such as Dan James, Road to the Horse champion in 2012, and Kim Gentry, who's an FEI dressage rider in Devon. So visit highvisibilitysportswear.com. Come to check out the promotion, and thanks to High Visibility North America for being the sponsor of the Wacky World of Horses with Leslie Wiley. Hey, Leslie.
How's it going? How's it going, guys?
Fantastic, fantastic. How's everything over there on Horse Nation?
Super. All the fun, all the time, as usual.
Well, I saw that you had a little tribute to the Oscars. You know, I always can count on you to take a horsey spin to any current topic going on.
Yeah.
we do our best. Yes, we did. We had we have a film critic on staff here at Horse Nation who does, she'll review. She has a huge library of reviews of horse films, and last week she came in with a little bit of trivia for us about the history of film, and made a case that the entire movie industry and sort of owes its existence to horses.
Amen.
Seems like it really does. It seems like a high claim, but she backed it up with some proof. So she wrote a story about Edward Maybridge, who, you know, invented the zoopraxiscope, I believe it's called, that was sort of the forerunner to, you know, was sort of like created the first film. So he was approached by, so previously Maybridge was a photographer, and he was approached by the governor of California at that time, Leland Stanford. And Leland wanted to know whether horses were ever completely airborne in the trot and the canter. Like, that was his question. So Maybridge set up this, I don't even understand. It sounds very, very complicated. I'll read you what Amanda wrote about it. In June 1878, Maybridge planned to take a series of photos at Stanford's Palo Alto stock farm to settle the bet. He placed numerous large glass plate cameras in a line along the edge of the track. The shutter of each was triggered by thread as the horse passed. The path was lined with cloth sheets to reflect as much light as possible. He copied the images in the form of silhouettes onto a disc to be viewed in a machine he had invented, which he called a zoopraxiscope. And up until that point, you know, you see old-fashioned paintings and whatnot, illustrations of horses, and when they're galloping, you know, they're always doing like this weird loopy thing. Their hind legs are way out and back in the back of them, and their forelegs are stretched out in front of them. You know, think old-timey fox hunting paintings and that sort of thing. And so he took these, you know, frames, I guess little, you know, photos of the horse galloping, and strung them together into a film, and we were able to look at it, you know, sort of the horse galloping in slow motion, and it sort of and everyone realized that that's actually not how they gallop at all. That's how people have been painting them galloping for, you know, forever.
So what you're saying is, Leslie, is that every single one of those celebrities last night in their Oscar speech should have thanked the horse.
The horse. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
The horse. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank God and horses. See, that's perfect speech.
Exactly. Yeah, and he went on to study. He was very interested in the movement of horses and went on to do hundreds of studies on horses galloping, horses jumping, horses, you know, pulling sulkies, horses just doing various horsey things, sort of breaking that down into frame by frame. I guess he thought that was pretty fascinating, which it is. So, yeah, and then from there, you know, that was the beginning of film. So
there
absolutely.
You go. And of course, anybody who wants to see these, just go to horsenation.com and you can see what Leslie's talking about. It's pretty cool and old timey like, and I can't believe you guys even found all of that video. And I mean, guess you find anything on YouTube anymore, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very cool.
Well, I was looking at one of your next posts, which I didn't get at first. It's a squirrel with a horse head.
Yeah. Speaking of inventions,
hilarious.
This
has been all over Facebook. Yeah.
All over Facebook. All over. I think it showed up on Imgur, or it was Imgur. Yeah. Last week is. It's a horse head, you know, like people, the horse mask thing. Yeah,
the ugly,
you know,
plastic ones that everybody wears.
The creepy looking horse mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So somebody decided to make a tiny horse head that you could hang from a string and put, you know, peanut butter, whatever squirrels like to eat, up in the horse head, and they would come along and stand on their hind legs, put their head up in the horse head, and it just looks really creepy.
Are you sure this wasn't Photoshopped?
I'm sure. Yeah, there's multiple, lots of photographic evidence that this thing actually exists.
It looks like squirrel bodies with horse heads. It's hysterical. I didn't think it was creepy. I thought it was bizarrely humorous. You can do this with anything now.
You can do it with anything. Yeah, and there we have a link, you know, where if you need one of these for your own backyard or 20 of them, they're $15, and we've got the link where you can buy it. So, yeah, what will they think of next?
We have about 1,000 squirrels in our yard, so it definitely would work here. No question. That's funny. Where do people come up with this stuff?
And then another interesting invention I stumbled across last week on the internet was it's a treadmill. It's an Amish thing. It's a treadmill that generates power, one horsepower, that people can sort of hook it up to make a washing machine work, or a wood chopper, or, you know, you can use it to pump water or churn milk or
make ice cream.
Whatever.
I'm watching the video. He's making ice cream.
Make ice cream. That's right.
That's what Boyd Martin needed to heat his coffee. He didn't need to use the grill. He could have just hooked up a dang horse.
I know, and it would have been good exercise for the horses too.
Exactly. Go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry. I was going to say,
I don't see my pony standing in this thing, walking on the treadmill. I really don't.
You don't think that'd be a good sport about that?
No,
I don't think mine would either, actually.
Well, Leslie, and Jennifer, maybe you could jump in on this too, because this is a problem that my husband and I have in our marriage. And I was... You know, count on Horse Nation to give me a reason to discuss these problems with my husband. And Jennifer, again, you can jump on this. My husband thinks that I have way too many saddle pads. I mean, he's like, why do you need this many saddle pads? I've got every color. And the Monday morning feed this morning it's a rhetorical question, I guess. Is it possible to have too many saddle pads? Jennifer, do you have an overabundance of saddle pads?
Of course not. I have almost as many as I need.
Exactly.
Nobody has an overabundance of saddle pads.
I have like a whole shelf full of saddle pads, and really a lot of them, I'm going to admit this because he's not in the room, really a lot of them could get thrown away. But you just never know when you're going to need another one.
You never know.
You guys, it's bits and saddle pads. For some reason, you cannot throw away a bit or a saddle pad. You can't even give them away. You just have to, you hoard bits and saddle pads.
Yeah, that's right. So true. So true.
Leslie,
like, why
do you have
so
a lot of
saddle
pads?
I do. I have an astonishing amount of saddle pads, but they're all dirty all of the time. You'd think that, you know, so you never have enough.
And then they get mad when you put them in the washing machine. You're like, well, I have this many saddle pads. I wouldn't have so many if I could wash them in the washing machine all the time without you complaining about it. And you can only do like three in the wash at a time.
Yes.
But it's exactly true. And all like you have on this post, you have all-purpose dressage pads, schooling pads, show pads, fancy pads, fun colors, flare pads. I mean, you just never know what you're going to need or when you're going to need it. And the show pads inevitably, after two shows, go to schooling pads. So you have
mm-hmm.
– it's not like you buy schooling pads. I mean, come
well,
on.
And,
no.
And you have levels of show pads, too. You have levels.
Yeah, they're white.
Schooling show pad, which is probably used to be your fancy show pad that's gotten downgraded to schooling
mm-hmm.
show. And then you have saddle pads that are available to be loaned to somebody else.
Oh, and I also noticed, too, what happens when a saddle pad gets retired is it doesn't get thrown away. It gets used as a dog bed. That's where it goes next in its life. Yeah, that's where it goes next. And there's something about washing. So you talk about washing saddle pads. The irritating thing about washing saddle pads, one, the hair. Yeah, I give you that. When you're done, there's hair everywhere, and you have to run the machine empty just to get hair out. But the other thing is you cannot put saddle pads in the right way that it doesn't go clunk, 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 clunk at some point in the washing cycle and make a hell of a racket. Yeah, that always happens, too.
You're right. But you know what? I found another use for saddle pads is that if you're going to take your dog in the car and your well, let's start this over. If you're going to take your dog in your husband's car and he doesn't appreciate that, what you do is you put the saddle pad and it fits the seat exactly where it goes along the bottom, and then you upfold it and it goes off the top. So you've got the whole seat covered, so it's like he never knew. I mean, it's like it never happened. I mean, yeah, whatever. You get my picture.
That's funny. You know, I was just reading, too, at some of – I was looking at another post you had on here about the five riding vacations under $1,000. And Jamie and I were just talking about riding vacations last week. And you know, I think you had a lot of your viewers drooling at some of these. You really did.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't that expensive, actually. You can go on a ride in – now, you didn't include the cost of getting there because here it says Hunt with the Galway Blazers, the hunt in Ireland, and it was $690 for the weekend. You didn't include getting there, and you also didn't include the hospital bills after because it's Ireland hunting. So you missed two important things there with that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The hospital bills, those will add up.
Now, is there actually a ride through wine country in California where you ride from one winery to the next and just get drunker and drunker, like they do the pub rides over in Scotland?
Doesn't that sound dreamy? If there isn't, it should be, for sure. There should be, for sure.
Well, that was a good post. Well, thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you being here every Monday at horsenation.com for all the fun in the horse world. Right in one place.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks,
right,
Leslie.
Bye.
Weren't we just talking about horse trips last week? You and I were talking about it because you had this place you wanted to go.
Yes, I'm going to go. I'm going to a ranch in August, and it's up in it's totally off the grid in Idaho. And so I can't wait to tell you guys more about it. It's going to be awesome. But yes, we were talking about it. But some of these trips that Leslie has on there, it's like, yes, it is a horse trip for under $1,000, and it's 2 days. I mean, it's not like it's a cheap trip. It's like, maybe a day or two, you know? So
yes.
You can find those, yeah. It was a little, I was more excited reading the title. When I clicked on it, I was like, oh, so this is not budget bargain vacations. It's just short vacations.
Yes. Well, there's nothing budget in horses. We know that.
This is true. This is true.
We know that.
I thought maybe something new. I don't know.
That's a rule. Nothing budget with horses. That's funny about the saddle pad conversation, too, because I think actually now that Jennifer has actually decreased her population of saddle pads a little bit, there doesn't seem to be quite as many out there as there used to be. So I don't know if that's...
Oh, she's hiding them. She's hiding them.
Oh, is she? Oh.
I'm not
using
the saddle pad. Chad has walked into the room, so I was just reminding him that of the saddle pad discussion and how he thinks I have way too many, and he just rolled his eyes at me.
How many do you have, Jamie? Do you have any idea? Like bits? Do you know how many bits you have?
Glenn, first of all, there's a little box in the tack room, and it's called the bit box, and it's a box of bits. And I noticed the other day that the bit box was in the back of, like, on top of the trash can. And I said, why is the bit box? He's like, it's a little box. I'm going to throw it away. But I'm like, but that's the bit box. We have to keep the bit box. The bit box goes back in the tack room. He says, whatever. And then I have, you know, those plastic shelves you put together, like from Lowe's or Home Depot. And so the bottom shelf are my pads and, like, the show pads and the white ones. Like, don't touch the pads on the bottom shelf. The second shelf is more of the colorful pads, and there's probably 15 on there. Colorful pads that, like, the kids like, and so I keep them a little, because I teach lessons here, and the kids. And then the next one up is the kind of like the ones that people use all the time, and I cycle them, and then the top shelf are the ones that I need to wash. So there's, like, see, the cycle of the saddle pads, I need all of these. And I would say, I'll count later just for curiosity's sake, but there's got to be at least 35 saddle pads. And they're all square pads. I only like the square pads. But we have little bounce pads that go in between the square pads and the saddle as well. So you just, there's probably 6 or 7 different ones of those, because you're never going to know what saddle needs what type of pad in between the square pad. And see, it's a science project, Glenn. We need everything.
Yes, obviously. Obviously. Well, you know, I think that, too, you know, drivers, we don't have – I was thinking, what do drivers have that is equivalent to – we tend to have a bit collection because, you know, we're already starting a bit collection for the pony, trying to figure out which one works the best, right? But we don't tend to have – you know, I don't know, Jennifer, maybe you can think of it. You usually have one pad for underneath your saddle for your harness. But other than that, I can't think of anything we have large collections of in the driving world. It seems to be a little different that way.
It's because your stuff is so expensive.
There is a collection. There is.
Oh,
and
it's carriages.
The collection is the carriages themselves.
Yes.
See, it's just
yes.
not as obvious because the drivers are really, really clever about this. They're very savvy. They spread the carriages out. They have a couple in the garage, maybe 2 or 3 in the barn. Their buddy 3 states away has a couple of them in storage. But when you add them all up, each and every driver has a dozen carriages.
But they're collector's items. That's a collection. That's different.
Lame.
See, now that goes into a whole new category. That's not like saddle pads where you're just buying them because you guys like saddle pads. It's a collection. It's a valuable collection.
Yeah, we're not buying that. We're not buying that. It's just something to spend your money on. But I get it. We have a very valuable collection of things that we need as well. They're called horses. So we need
more.
Well,
that's it for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. And thank you to the early we have early auditors just signing up. We appreciate that. I see some
Aww.
Just coming in now, so that's terrific. You know, those are true fans, and we really do appreciate you. And as I mentioned earlier, if you want to find out how you can do that or what it's all about, just go to horsesinthemorning.com or horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner in the middle of the page. We're going to be back here. We have a special episode for you tomorrow, and we're going to bring you the Horsemanship Radio Show. and we're going to play it here on Horses in the Morning tomorrow. And the reason is it's an extra special show that I'm very proud of, and I think Debbie did a terrific job. Debbie Laux, Monty Roberts' daughter, did this hosting of this show. But it's the first time that we've had a roundtable with over 300 years of horse experience. And I'm not kidding. The guests on this roundtable have over 300 years. We had Monty Roberts himself. We had Aiton Beth Alchemy, who was the guy who rode the Western Dressage at the opening ceremonies of WEG and then had the heart attack right when he rode out of the arena. He had a heart attack right there. Well, he's also considered one of the best natural horsemen in the world, and he was on. Richard Winters is a name everybody will recognize and was on. Dr. Robert Miller was on, and Tom Spaulding was on. So all five of them were on the same call talking about horsemanship today and horsemanship in the world and how it's changed and where it's going. And, you know, anytime you get Dr. Robert Miller on a show, it becomes interesting right away. And then to get him with Monty and Richard and everybody, it was just fascinating episode. And plus, then at the end, as a bonus, Debbie talked to Monty about, and I love hearing Monty talk about this. Monty has a group of deer at the farm out there in Solvang, California, that come in his backyard. And for years and years and years, he has been going out and hanging out with the deer and actually trying to develop a relationship with the deer, and has succeeded in petting them and getting close to them. And he has just spent years doing this. And he has a name for it now, and he calls it ritualistic habituation. And he talks all about why he thinks it worked and what is ritualistic habituation. And it was a fascinating conversation. He just gets so animated when he talks about his deer. So that's in the episode coming up tomorrow. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Don't forget, we have EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge with Max Cochran. That's all coming up this week on Horses in the Morning.
All right,
Jamie,
everybody. Thanks for
talking. I'm out of air.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. See you Wednesday.
Bye.
Unload the app.